Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right. Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and it is Monday, and that means Mike will review all of the NFL action from the final regular season week of the NFL, and we move into the playoffs. And it is, of course, Black Monday, so we've got the latest news for you about head coaching changes and how that might impact the Chicago Bears, because we're going to talk in depth about those Bears and that miserable 8-8 season that concluded Sunday with a win over the third-string Minnesota Vikings players. And I think Mike has some free picks, and that's great news because he is on fire. Let's bring Mr. North in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm great, Aldo. Happy New Year to you and to Donna, to the family and everybody at the Bears Barroom. All the family members of Bears Barroom, Happy New Year to all. Yeah, I got free picks today because we're going to be off on Wednesday because of New Year's Day. So I got three free picks. We're 31-21 after 2-1 this past week. Got it done at Michigan State. Also had the under in the Texas A&M game, both winners. The loser was Texas A&M. They didn't cover by the 7. They only won by 3, but we were on the right track. 31-21 yesterday on the odds couple, 1-2 for 32-20 overall. That ends our regular season on the odds couple. We'll be going into the playoff mode now, so above 500 for the third straight year on that platform, on any platform. I haven't lost in any platform in 3 years, and also 42-38 this month in all sports on Vegas Scores and Odds. Follow them, folks, at VSAO. A really tough month for a lot of people. We grinded it. We finished 4 above. I don't even know how that happened. The college games have been cruel, to be kind. And to be matter-of-factly to everybody, but you know what? Things are happening. So another great, great year for us at the Bar Room. We'll continue to go on, hopefully into January, February, March, and April. We're talking to the guys at Vegas Scores and Odds now. Just got off the phone with my guy Mo earlier, trying to get a game in. So we're very, very busy. And, yeah, yesterday, You know, a lot of interesting things that went on, and a lot of non-interesting things, such as the bear game.
did you fall asleep during that game? Because I was about to. It was a surreal, weird, boring game.
Well, you know, I'm getting the sense that Bear fans want to blame one segment of the football team or another segment, and they don't realize that when you're talking about the offense, to just pick on the offensive line is foolish. Or when you're talking about the offense, to just pick on the quarterback is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Or the wide receivers separately. They're a team. There's chemistry that has to be involved. Perfect example, Aldo, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
They got nothing but stars, but they have no chemistry. The Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah.
You want to talk about injuries? They've been decimated by injuries, yet they're going to the playoffs because they have chemistry and a coach and a philosophy that keeps things intact, and there's no panic mode, so to speak. So there's no excuses in Philadelphia. For the losers, there's plenty of excuses to go around, including from the fan bases.
Yeah, I mean, that game Sunday, Bears at Minnesota, it starts off with the very first play. This I think, the third or fourth string running back runs for 50-plus yards on the opening play. And throughout the game, it was just, you know, we got the starters. Everybody that was healthy played for the Bears. And you had second, third, and fourth stringers for the Vikings. And it was close all the way to the end. This was, as you said, everything from A to Z about the Bears Sunday and throughout the season exemplified their 8-8 record that just were mediocre all season long. And Sunday against the Vikings kind of was the capsule for the season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know what? I mean, I'm glad today nobody's gushing with praise that they won that game yesterday. Everybody knows what it was.
Yep.
I put out on Twitter that it's amazing. The Bears are going to play regular players against the preseason type team that you'd see with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
When in the preseason it was the other way around. Minnesota played their starters. In fact, they played them extensively August 23rd. I looked this up yesterday,
uh-huh,
just to get an idea of what we're talking about here.
Right.
Minnesota played their starters. They were ready to play the season. The Bears weren't. And now that Minnesota's resting, I don't understand that kind of philosophy. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit. I don't know why you would give your players the day off. You haven't done anything yet. Okay, you made the playoffs. You don't reward them by getting the day off. You keep playing. I know you may be afraid of injury, but you know what? The Philadelphia Eagles have had 15 key injuries, including on defense and offense, on and off all year long. And you know what? They kept trying, and they're going to be okay. So
yep.
The bottom line is their quarterback didn't get hurt. And you know what? If we would have played Minnesota yesterday with the full complement of stars, I'm confident we would have gotten our butts kicked.
Oh, yeah.
Confident.
Absolutely. The Bears did not cover. The line that I saw was they were giving 5.5 points, so they did not cover in that game.
Well, they were 4-12 this year against the spread.
Oh,
from the other way around last year. Other things I want everybody to consider too, Aldo,
mm-hmm,
because Aldo goes, I wonder if Mike really, when he gets up at 4 in the morning, if he immediately starts delving into the paperwork for the stuff we're going to be doing today. No, I wait till 4:15, okay? I have my first two cups of Starbucks and then I get jacked up.
There you go.
Last year, the Chicago Bears defense scored 45 points. That's a lot of points. Scored 45 points for this team. This year they scored 9.
Wow. Wow.
So when you say that, you know, they didn't have the turnovers they needed. It was a complete breakdown. Minnesota, I mean, the Bears ran well yesterday against Minnesota's second and third stringers, but Minnesota just gashed the Bears on the ground.
Yep. You know, when you look at what the Bears did last season, you see clues that this was going to be a disappointing season. It,
yep,
it is just so difficult for a defense to replicate what they did last season with all those points being scored, those interception touchdowns, Eddie Jackson, and so forth. Just so difficult to do that a second year in a row under a new defensive coordinator. You know,
yep,
you're going to get injuries and so forth. And then Moon Mullen over at NBC Sports Chicago rightly predicted back in August that the NFL was catching up with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky's offense. You saw it last season, 5 of the last 8 games, including the playoff game, the Bears failed to score 17 or more points. And so it was just, the signs were there, and we just got swept away with the enthusiasm that maybe this was going to be the year we get to the Super Bowl. But the problems have been there. I think Matt Nagy winning the coach of the year 1 year and then looking like a dunce the next year is apropos, because this guy, he keeps admitting that he's got a lot to learn as a head coach. Yes, he does. He needs to learn how to run the ball, for one thing. That running game was just pathetic all season long.
Yeah, yesterday it was good to see Montgomery start to get a little bit of confidence against. We know who he was playing. I understand that.
Sure.
But I did hear what Marsh Lurif said, and I noticed Montgomery did this the whole game, maybe because he could. He's just got to put his head down and run between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
The more he tries to bounce out, and like Lurif said yesterday, you're not playing the Big 12 defenses. You're playing the NFL now. You're bouncing outworked at Iowa State. In other words, do what Jordan Howard did last year. Run with your head down between the tackles, period. And try, because I saw him yesterday sort of stop behind the line 3-4 times,
mm-hmm.
looking for a hole. Sometimes that first shot gets you that hole after you make contact with the original tackler. So, I mean, his hesitancy, even with a big game, I knew who he was playing against. But you know what? If he wants to be successful, he quits thinking that he can beat linebackers around the corner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then after the game, Mitch Trubisky was asked, you know, how is he going to prepare for next season? And this is what he said.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get back at it pretty soon. I think number one thing is just getting healthy, getting the body right, feel better, get a plan with Coach Nagy and what all he wants me to do this offseason and kind of talk through that. So we'll figure it out within the next couple days, take a little time off. But it's, I mean, this is my life. It is, I love football. I can never get away from it from too long. So offseason starts now.
I love the kid's dedication. I love the kid's attitude. But man, yesterday he was 26 out of 37, 70%, but he averaged just 5.6 yards per attempt. And that is below his season average, which is already a yard worse than last year. And so, you know, it's a combination of Mitch just not seeing the field properly. He tends to panic, particularly in blitzes. And it's also Matt Nagy not just having confidence in the kid and just saying, hey, air it out. Go downfield. Let me see what you can do. That combination of Nagy and Trubisky is bothersome. And when the general manager of this team has his press conference tomorrow, along with the head coach, we're going to see what kind of answers they provide. But whatever they say, it's just going to be words. We need action to kind of prove to us that we should have hope next season, because right now my hopes are dashed. I'm not.
And I had trades going tonight. Joe Burrow was throwing 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. I started going over what the Bears could give the Bengals to take the number one pick. And you know what? I had Khalil Mack, Trubisky, Allen Robinson. Send those three for Joe Burrow. Right now, take the number one pick. Make him your quarterback, because he's a quarterback. If you watched the game the other night, he don't hold on to the ball for more than 3 seconds.
Yes, exactly.
As soon as the ball snapped, he throws it. We got guys, not only Mitch, in the National Football League that hold on to the ball for 2, 3, 4 seconds. He knows what he wants to do with the ball. He sees the whole field. If people don't look at, I've seen them all. If people don't think this kid's special, they haven't been watching football. He knows where to throw it. He knows how to, in what position to throw it in. He's got great footwork. So I was going through all these traits. That being said, we're stuck with Mitch for now. Here's what they got to figure out. Are they going to bring in a guy to compete with Mitch? Because if they are, then I'm all for it. Because if you give him another free pass with Chase Daniel, and they dress up in the same suits together, and they're cute and they're grown beards together, nobody knows. Did Chase Daniel, is he still alive? Bring in another quarterback, challenge this kid, maybe draft a quarterback late, but you know what? Until Ryan Pace and the Bears get over the fact that, you know what, he's the beat-all, end-all, We're going to be going to the same 12th. Now, I don't know what changed between the first year and the second year. Somebody blamed the offensive line to say, oh, look at this line. He had plenty of time to pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Bear fans just like to blame people, you know, for something. The line was okay. It's the same line that got Montgomery 129 yards. All I keep hearing is he has nowhere to run. I know who they played. Bottom line is, Mitch was on the average. I joked that Allen Robinson would have 20 catches for 71 yards. I was wrong. He had 9 for 71 yards. That's still pathetic.
Yeah, I'm with you. Alex Acevedo in the chat room says that you should be at that press conference tomorrow asking questions. Mike, if you were there, what would be the first question you'd ask Ryan Pace?
I would ask him straight up. I would say this. Are you going to change your way of thinking about preseason? Are you going to change some things up there in the preseason when it comes to the mini camps? Are you going to continue to do what worked for you the first year and not the second year? That's the first thing I'd ask him.
That would be a good question, because a lot of people are saying that Bourbonnais was kind of a club med for a lot of these players.
They win yesterday. And by the way, I'm glad they won, because if they would have lost, we'd be ripping the crap out of them.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So I'm glad they won. But you know what?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, It was, you know, you could have all the disco balls you want, all the lights going, but in their hearts, it was the party after the funeral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the little thing after your funeral, when you go to the funeral, and then afterwards, everybody gets together for a luncheon. That's what it really was. You could have all the balls spinning, all the music blaring. You guys were failures.
Now, Mike, you say you want to see the Bears bring in competition for Trubisky, so would you prefer they bring in a veteran, or do you prefer that they bring in a young developmental quarterback and maybe hit big like some teams did with mid-round quarterbacks like Gardner Minshew and some of these other guys that have come in? So you would prefer a veteran?
I'd prefer a veteran. And I'll give you one. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look what he did yesterday.
Yeah.
If the Bears had Ryan Fitzpatrick quarterback in them this year for the whole season, am I wrong to think that they could have gone 10-6?
I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, if you're telling me, can Mitch Trubisky go to New England with this Bears team and beat New England? I'm going to probably tell you no, even at the state New England's in right now, which isn't a bad state to be in.
Playoffs.
But you set such a high standard for yourself.
Yeah.
But I'd say they can't. Now, if you're going to ask me if Fitzpatrick quarterbacks the Bears with the same personnel on defense and offense, could he go there next year and beat New England? I saw him win with Miami.
Right, right.
So it's the quarterback. And somebody said it, and I've been saying it for weeks. We have the fourth best quarterback in the division. We're not going to go anywhere that way, folks, unless something drastically changes. Either he wakes up or I don't know what. Now, I'll tell you. My outside deal, my hope would be, if I was running the Bears, okay, I would try to talk to Andrew Luck. I would try to talk to Andrew Luck. I don't know if he's still Indianapolis, Indianapolis
property, right? So
property.
Speak. Yeah.
I don't think he is.
Yeah,
he retired.
I don't know. I'll see if I can find some info on that.
See if you, but I would. See, but I think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do in my free time, which is plenty. You know what I mean? I love it. I mean, this is what I do, though. I'm thinking of schemes. I mean, my God. I mean, if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm taking the Washington job, which, by the way, congratulations to Chico, two-time coach of the year, also three times won the division, and also was at Super Bowl 50. Congratulations. He's supposed to be getting the Redskins job. You inquire about Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
He's the best guy out there, isn't he?
Without a doubt. Without
right.
a doubt. And maybe sitting the entire season has helped his body,
right.
And maybe he's got the fire lit under. You don't want a guy come back if he's going to be half-ass about it. But, yeah, he would probably come back.
Ask him. I go, you got it in you? I mean, I'd go out there going, look, everybody thinks you walked away with your tail between your legs. If you got something in you, we got a team that I think can win, the Chicago Bears. We got Mitch Trubisky,
yep.
But if I bring you in, I expect you to stay the whole time, to be married to the game. We're going to pay you what you think is coming. And you know what? That's the end of that. Unless the guy just can't play anymore, which I have not heard.
Yeah, I'm with you now. I just found out the information.
I think he was too smart for his own good.
Really? You think that, huh?
I think Andrew Luck did not love the game enough.
Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing Mitch Trubisky say, I love the game.
Right.
What I heard a lot of these players say yesterday, they love the game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, look at, how can you not? It's the greatest game in the world.
Cliff Wilson wants to know if the Bears should call Jay Cutler.
No way. Because you know what? The one thing I'll give Trubisky is that Trubisky comes to play every game. Trubisky wants to win. Trubisky did not have an awful season. He had an awful start. But he has digressed the last 2 weeks, and that's worrisome.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. Now, Andrew Luck still is property of the Indianapolis Colts unless they waive him. But so if the Bears wanted to try to reach out to Andrew Luck, they'd have to go through the Colts first and work out some kind of compensation.
Well, that complicates matters, no doubt about it. And I can imagine if Andrew Luck came back, he'd probably want to come back to Indianapolis because he did, you know, leave on an abruptness, which, you know, I was sort of like unprecedented, for God's sake. So, okay, we could throw that one away, but I think there's other quarterbacks out there that you got to look at. I try to look for a veteran. I don't know how many good veterans are out there.
Yeah.
I know Eli Manning said today that he will not be a backup. He said there's no fun being a backup.
Right.
I'm not here. He goes, but it looks like, you know what, it's over with for him. So there's not a whole lot of talent out there, to be honest with you.
Well, Philip Rivers might be available. Would you be interested in Rivers?
No.
Okay.
No. The guy's 3 hours from home, he's crying. I mean, 3 hours by driving. Can you imagine being 3 hours away by plane? that guy there, I watched him yesterday. He was one of my losses. I mean, you know, I was getting 9 points. That guy there, he just let his heart, I mean, screw him up in his crybaby antics and crying about where they're playing.
Yeah.
And I understand it, but you know what? You can't always have the greatest work conditions. You'd figure $25-30 million a year would suffice you trying to win the game.
I hear you. You know, he was tearful yesterday in his press conference. It almost seemed like he kind of knew that he probably will not be back next season, and that
I was crying tears of joy with him because nobody's cost me more money over the last 5 years than that goof. Telling you, man. I go goodbye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Wow.
Now, a team that was a good bet yesterday was the New Orleans Saints. They win 42-10 over the Carolina Panthers, and they were giving up 13.5 points, so they covered, and the total was 45 points. And the Saints, as I said, have 42 points. You know what was interesting about this game is they had two offensive linemen who had been injured for several games, and Sean Payton got the clearance to play them, and he didn't pull a Matt Nagy. He said, you guys are going to play and get ready for the playoffs. This is Sean Payton.
Well, look, I thought it was important to get both he and Larry. I didn't want to go into a playoff game with them, you know, fresh off of an injury. I thought it was important for those guys to play today. I thought that was real important. But, you know, they couldn't play until they were healthy. They were cleared, and I thought it was important that they got in there, and we'll look at the film, see how they did.
Do you think Matt Nagy can learn something from Sean Payton?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's good that he's going to do that. I think that the sitting by Minnesota, Zimmer, they said that he didn't really want to do it.
Oh,
well,
really?
You're the head coach. You talked you out of it.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I think his coaches might have talked him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know what, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, to play it careful. But you know what, I think that New Orleans, Christian McCaffrey, by the way, should have won a Heisman Trophy. I said it at the time. He was too small and too white for them to give that kid the trophy for some reason. He's only a third running back in the history of the National Football League on a bad team to run for 1,000 yards and a catch for 1,000 yards. So what a year he had. That being said, as soon as they fired Ron Rivera at Carolina, that stupid owner, and if that kind of move is a portent of things to come. Carolina's in trouble. As soon as he fired Ron Rivera, one of the classiest guys in the NFL, he had egg on his face, and the team stopped playing for him, and New Orleans reaped the benefits yesterday.
What do you think about the news that former Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera is set to become the next head coach of the Washington Redskins?
Man, I'll tell you, they got a class act there. The guy was 76 and 63 and got him to a Super Bowl. And he gets fired during the season. Treated like a dog. Give me a break. This guy is going to go and straighten things out. They got rid of Bruce Allen today, who had a record, I think, of 97 and 127. And he's one of those guys that didn't hold a press conference till from 2015 till recently.
Yes, exactly.
Just once a year thing like Ryan Pace is right. doing, that's garbage. Yep. That is garbage. They should have to get up quarterly like corporations and address the media every four games. That's four quarters to the season. That's what they should have to do. But I love the fact Rivera is going to be able to run the show. I'm happy for Ron. I love the work for Ron. I don't know what I'd do. Maybe get him coffee. But that's quality act. And Washington's finally got a legitimate coach that still got the chops. Not Joe Gibbs bringing him back in mothballs or Steve Spurrier trying the college thing.
I got the job for you, Mike. You go to Washington and you become the press secretary. And no longer does the head coach have to do three press conferences a week. You handle them. You handle the questions. You tell the reporters to go to hell, shut up, and listen. And you get that pressure off of Ron Rivera so he can concentrate on coaching. Don't you like that idea?
By the job I'd like to get Ron, for Ronnie, for me, is in charge of people not to take. Okay? I've always had that strength. Everybody tells you who to take.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Don't take Cutler. No. Don't take this guy. Don't take Wanstead. Don't take Cedric Benson. All the Bears that I didn't want, if we hadn't taken them, we'd be sitting pretty. Don't do this. Don't take Mitch. You know, I joked yesterday. If Pace had a chance at Burroughs and Mitch was in the draft, he'd trade up for Mitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not funny. That's because it really happened in real life.
That's right.
Watson and Mahomes.
That's right. Chicago Dave in the chat room says, "Don't go."
I love Chicago Dave.
He's the best. He says, "Don't go to Washington. Stay here in the bar room." And he also notes that the Redskins, that's where coaches go to die. The franchise killed Vince Lombardi.
Yes, literally. Yeah, but you know what? I think with a different leader up top and with Rivera getting ready to handle some of the responsibilities, Daniel Snyder's finally waking up. How you kept Bruce Allen there for a decade is beyond me.
Yep.
But you see these old boys club. I mean, Jason Garrett, he should be gone, shouldn't he?
Yes.
Is there something in the back of your head that says they might keep him again with another 8 and 8 year? Because it's too much trouble to bring somebody else in and to start all over again, and these players are basically getting older, and they know the system. I mean, I'm starting to think, you know, if you were going to fire Jason Garrett, wouldn't you have done it already?
I would think so. I listened to the press conference Jerry Jones had immediately after the game. I had a soundbite, but the audio quality is so bad. He has these press conferences where he's surrounded by 3-4 dozen reporters, and there's all this ambient noise. You can barely make out what he's saying.
There's 5 dozen, not 4 dozen. Okay? Thank you very much, Mr. Gandhi.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect. Of course, you've met him. And
Jason's a good man. Don't get me wrong. But those things we got to do, and we got to get it right.
Right. So he didn't sound like he was going to keep him, but you're right. It should have happened by now. It's not like,
let's say, you know what? They probably won't keep him, Elts. They probably won't. But there's always... Wait, how many times have people thought he was going to be fired before?
Right. Right.
So... but I think this is finally it. They can't... But man, I mean, I know in his heart, that's a defeat for Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
He believed in this guy for so long.
Exactly.
And the guy never could do it. The guy with the... Look, a stoic demeanor, if you're Tom Landry, is good. A stoic demeanor if you're Jason Garrett ain't.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking about the veteran, bringing in a veteran quarterback. Would you consider Jameis Winston if the Tampa Bay Bucks.
No. Oh my God, what a train wreck. And those people that actually are arguing on his behalf.
I know,
Booger McFarland tries to compare him to, you know, to the interceptions. He's Peyton Manning threw more interceptions than he did. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? Baker Mayfield's had a better first year than Jameis Winston had. A lot of people did. Jameis Winston, you cannot win turning the football over 30 times.
Oh, my gosh. 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions. Unbelievable.
Let me ask you something. Give me a quarterback with a 90 rating, 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions all day long.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Now, he also threw for 5,000 yards.
I wouldn't trade Mitch for him.
You wouldn't, huh?
Nope. No way. Hey, look, Mitch has gotten the Bears farther than Jameis Winston's gotten. I'm not just blaming him now.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But Mitch takes better care of the football.
Oh,
you cannot.
Sure. Yep.
And besides, that's not even covering the fumbles.
That's right. That is correct.
I mean, the guy fumbled like 10, 11 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have 41, 42 turnovers. You just can't.
That's right. Well, he threw that 30th interception in overtime for a pick six, and the Bucs a loser.
The first pass.
Yes, the first pass. The Bucs a loser to the Falcons, 28-22. And Bruce Arians met the media today, and he said, I am not going to talk about Jameis Winston's future with the team because we have not made a decision, and when we make a decision, we may not announce it right away for competitive reasons.
Oh, my God.
He also said that he thinks they've got a roster that's ready to win a championship, and he was asked, well, if you bring in a new quarterback, how is this roster going to be ready to win a championship? And this is what he said.
No, not at all. If that's what it comes to, He'll be expected to play at the level to win the championship.
So he is saying if they bring in a new quarterback, it's going to be a quarterback that is ready to help them win a championship because they've got their sights set on the Super Bowl. You think that's highfalutin talking there, or you think there might be some truth?
A little highfalutin, but that tells you Jameis Winston can't be the quarterback.
Exactly. It's bye-bye.
Unless they bring him back next year and franchise tag him.
Yeah.
That's the only way they could do it, but you're wasting a year, guys. Mm. I'm telling everybody now. Bruce Arians, look, this is a trend. This has been going on since 2015 with them. This just didn't happen this year, folks.
Yeah.
He's led the league in turnovers since 2015, okay? I'm sorry, you're not winning with a quarterback that throws that many interceptions and turns. You can't do it. You just can't. So if I'm Arians and he says, I know what he says. You bring in a new quarterback, you can catch lightning in a bottle. That's what he's thinking. They got to go out and look for somebody because Jameis Winston, he knows, isn't the answer.
You think maybe Tom Brady might want to go to Tampa Bay? Because I tell you what, I listened to that press conference of Tom Brady, and he doesn't sound too happy with the weapons that he has at New England. It was a dour Brady who he himself did not have a very good game. This is what he told the media when a reporter asked him a really upfront question. Listen to this.
Tom, did you feel 100% today? There were some throws in the first half. There were a couple of fades. It seemed a little bit overshot. There was a couple throws to Philip, and I just wanted to ask directly, did you feel as if you were dialed in today or just a little off, or how did you feel going in?
I could always do things better, so I don't think there's any, you know, one particular thing other than obviously I hate turning the ball over, but I just don't think we did a good enough job. I certainly didn't do a good enough job, and got to do better next week.
That was a huge upset. The Miami Dolphins beat the New England Patriots at New England. The money line, Mike, was a plus 781 for Miami, so that would have been a nice $100 bet if you had the Dolphins in that game, huh?
Yeah, but if you didn't and you took the money line with the New England, you're going to, well, here's what I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
I said it at the beginning of the year. You can't lose Gronkowski.
Right.
They lost Gronkowski. They lost one of the top 10 players in the game.
Yep.
At what? At one of the top 100 tight ends? I mean, 100 players of all time. You lost the tight end. who's one of the top 100 players of all time, and everybody acted like that was no big deal. He could get away with not having the top receivers. He's had no receivers before, or no-name receivers before, but he always had guys like Aaron Hernandez early, and then Gronk now. And he doesn't have Gronk. If Gronk played this year, it's a whole different season for them. There's no doubt in my mind. You can't lose a player like that. Look at San Francisco. If they lose George Kittle tomorrow, look what happens to them. They're a different team. And that's exactly what you're seeing here. I don't think Tom Brady's lost anything. I really don't. I just don't think. I think sometimes he overthrows, just like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had 12, 13 overthrows yesterday. It's one of those games. But you also overthrow because your receivers are covered, or you don't have faith in your receivers, and you're afraid to put it in a certain spot. So, I mean, if somebody told me tomorrow that Tom Brady was the quarterback next year for the Bears, I'd be jacked up as all hell. So that means I don't think he's lost that much.
Yeah.
Okay? But he's not going to be the quarterback of the Bears, okay? And they're in the playoffs. And 12-4 and being a wild card team is now, I guess, the bottom of the barrel for a great franchise like that. How would we like to have that problem? But that being said, the Miami game cost them, and it exposed them. Because now, does Tennessee not think that they can go to New England and win? But also, if you're a Tennessee Titan fan, aren't you crapping in your pants right now that you're playing New England? Mm. I mean, I don't care. There's something about they've been written off before, and they always do it. I'm not saying they're going to do it this time,
right. But
man, I would not want to be playing New England in the first round of the playoffs, if I'm anybody. That's just me.
And they are playing the Tennessee Titans, and will be at New England. That's the wild card round. It was the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens who get the first round bye over on the AFC side. Mike, do you think it's out of the question that take a look at this scenario? Tom Brady is a free agent at the end of the season. He's upset with the fact that the Patriots have failed to give him the necessary weapons for him to play at his best.
But he's never had them.
He's had Gronk.
He's had he's had a couple guys. He had Edelman. He's had Amendola. But I mean, his running backs have been average. I mean, I don't know. I just think Gronkowski being there would change everything. I think that sunk their ship. I said that at the beginning of the year. I still believe in them. I mean, they're 20-1 now, though. Think about that.
Ooh.
That is, in the Brady era, in the playoffs, the biggest odds they've ever had.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
20-1, New England to go all the way.
But here's my premise. So he's
yes,
not.
Sir. I love premises.
I
love when you premise. Come on.
So Josh McDaniel might get a head coach. So his offensive coordinator might leave. He might want to prove to the world, I can win a championship without Bill Belichick. So maybe if he becomes a free agent, maybe the Bears go calling Tom Brady and say, come on over. We'll give you a $20 million contract with bonuses and blah, 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 and finish your career here for a season or two. You think that's out of the question?
Yes. I do.
Okay.
I'd love to see it. I look, if prove me wrong, but man, I just think he's too smart. Sure, he's down yesterday. if we do a podcast and we have a technical glitch or something.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then 10 minutes after the podcast is over, we're being questioned about the technical glitch.
Right.
Why did it happen? We're pissed.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So I understand why he's mad. I love a 43-year-old guy that gets mad after he loses a football game. I just think, you know what? I think we wait till the off season. Look, you're not leaving at 12-14. And you're not leaving if you're Tom Brady. That guy might run for president someday.
He might.
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. He might run for president. He might run for senator. His home is in New England. He's not going anywhere.
All right. Well,
I think it's a big picture thing, Aldo.
Yeah.
I think for him to leave after 6 Super Bowls and forget to go to the Bears or somebody else and then to do a Joe Montana or something like that. I mean, when I think of Joe Montana, I know he got in the playoffs with Kansas City, but I always think of the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Do we ever think of Jordan with the Wizards?
Nah.
No, that's what you got. And I warned him. I warned I told him, don't. And he played 82 games that year. God bless him.
Yeah.
But I told him, don't go to Washington. It will stain you. And everybody told me, no, it won't. It's okay, it's a little stain. Okay, you know the little drip stain on the dish from the dishwasher that you didn't get? That's the little stain it is, but it's still a stain.
Yes.
He played for the Wizards, man.
I know. It was embarrassing.
Come on.
It was embarrassing.
It could have been a lifelong bull, and that's, I don't care whose fault it is, you know.
But, Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
They didn't want to pay the...
Nobody stays forever, Phil Jackson.
Right.
You know, we could talk about that. And so to see an athlete like Tom Brady and to start when you're in your 20s and to be 43 and to go, oh, I don't like my team even though we're 12-4, I'm leaving?
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. That still irritates the hell out of me.
You gotta get off that. You're addicted. It's like Rocky, you got Brady coming to the Bears. You've been chirping about this since week 8. Okay.
That's true.
My God.
I've been
trying to get you off this thing for about a month, 2 months. It's a lost cause. I gotta get an intervention. Gotta get Tooch. Gotta get little Nicky. You're gonna walk in with a Brady jersey on. And there's going to be a circle of guys from the bar room, people in the bar room. Heidi, Karen, Tooch, Nikki, Shane, me. We're going to be sitting in a circle, and we're going to have an intervention for you.
Thank you.
Okay?
I need it.
My God.
It's fun to pretend that they're...
By the way, do you know what time it is?
Oh, my goodness, could it be?
And odds, ladies and gentlemen, at VSAO. Follow us at VSAO. Right now, what do I have up, pray tell? I have the Illinois-California bowl game up. Folks, getting ready to kick off at about 1:30, 2 o'clock. I also got basketball tonight, Xavier Villanova. Okay, you know what? We got all that there and more. Also, I got the Mississippi State bowl game versus Louisville up there right now, hopefully. You know what? That was the one I had trouble getting in. I might give that one out here on the bar room. What the heck?
Cool.
Why not? But anyway, here's what I got for today. I got three games, ladies and gentlemen, but really three plays, two games, okay?
Okay.
Number one, on a Monday afternoon, what does Mike North like to do? Oh, well, it's the Loyola Valparaiso game. Why not? Now, don't forget, we're 31-21, ladies and gentlemen. 31-21. So, you know, Eldo doesn't know what it's like to lose.
Nope.
Okay? He's the opposite of Daniel Snyder. Okay?
That's right.
You know, one more boom. He's like Kraft. You know, every day. Boom. Win. Boom. Bottom line is that Loyola is playing Valparaiso tonight. Valparaiso is a 3-point underdog at Valparaiso. Loyola's 8-5. Valparaiso 7-6. Take Valparaiso in College Hoops, a 7 o'clock game tonight, getting the 3. So that's number one. Number two, this is a bowl game getting ready for tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kansas State versus Navy. Kansas State versus Navy. Now, Navy is -2.5. All right? Take Kansas State. Oh, I used to live across the street when I was in the service. What a good time that was. Am I being partial? Not really. Navy, everybody knows they're going to come play their best game. But I think them finally knocking off Army after a 3-year hiatus, I think they're satisfied. I think they're fat cats now. I think they got bigger worries, like, you know, trying to survive the next 5 years. I'm going to take Kansas State getting with the 2.5 against Navy, and also the under in their game, 53.5. So, we got Valparaiso, we got Kansas State, and Kansas State under, Valparaiso and hoops, Kansas State in football. Eldo, back to you, my friend.
All right, and I want to encourage everybody to go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com for more information on betting packages, and you will see the tote board there, and you'll see Mike's excellent record along with some of the other great handicappers that VegasScoresAndOdds.com has. And also, if you're on Twitter, make sure you follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter. It is VSAO Sports at VSAO Sports. Please give them a follow.
We got it going right now. We'll have all the bowl games. I'm going to put up some New Year's games a little bit later on. So you'll be ready for New Year's, whatever. You can buy packages, pay $25, $50, $75 for individual games. Depends what games you're asking for. We're in the prime time right now, so we're putting the push on.
There you go. Mike, if you are a Green Bay Packer fan, you're happy because you got a first-round bye, but you got to be worried that this offense for the Packers looks really bad, and Aaron Rodgers looked nothing like the Aaron Rodgers from this past decade when he was lighting things up. He looked really bad, and he addressed his misthrows and poor play yesterday when he met the media. Oops. Better turn off the music, huh? Let's do that again.
I like that music.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I'm tired. A lot of plays. You know, too many missed throws. Felt good about the throws. That's the crazy thing. I felt good about some of those that I overthrew by a couple yards. Yeah, we're just a little bit off, I think, at times. But, you know, we had to make some plays. We made some plays.
They've got a bye next week. I am thinking that this team is going to be one and out in the playoffs. I just don't have confidence in them. Yes, they've got a good defense, and defense in the playoffs is huge. But I just don't see a championship team here. You've got San Francisco 49ers. They've got a bye also. And then the teams that are in contention for wild card week are the Seahawks, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Saints. I like all of those teams above the Green Bay Packers. What's your feel?
I got to tell you, I don't know how he does it. 13 wins. Remember we talked, we couldn't.
Yeah.
People were predicting them for 12 wins. I said, I don't see the 12 wins. I got to give them all the credit in the world.
Yep.
Give the coaching staff all the credit in the world, and we're all brushing them off.
Yep.
Don't brush them off. Don't brush these guys off. I don't care. You know what, though? He is having trouble, just like Brady. Isn't it amazing? Both teams have no receivers,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
For the most part.
Yep.
And yet, it's the quarterbacks that take the blame.
Yep.
And I understand that. So, I would just say this. If you have to play Green Bay or New England with Brady and Rodgers, is that really the break you were looking for? Is it really? Hey, Mike, guess what? What? We got in May. We're playing the 13-win Packers. What? At Green Bay.
Exactly.
What? Oh, by the way, New England's finished. Yeah, they're in the wild card at New England. We're going to. They're what? What? Brady's still there? I'm just saying. How many really strong wild card teams? Strong,
yep.
I mean, really, and strong, like, divisional winners.
Mm hmm.
I mean, you know what? It's not like the Bears and the Vikings were chopped liver. It's not like Green Bay's winning these 13 games in the AFC East like New England did all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, you play even Detroit. I mean, Detroit, before Stafford came down, they were as dangerous as anybody.
Yep.
So they played in one of, in my opinion, one of the tougher divisions in football, and they won 13 games.
Hmm.
And everybody's playing. Well, if you would know this, maybe you would know this is a tough division. No, but you know what I mean, Al. You know what I mean, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
It was for the new year, Al. That's why I did that. Anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is Green Bay's won 13 games in a division you and I would consider pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got two playoff teams in this,
yep,
in this division, you know. And
and the Bears were the ones that were supposed to win it.
Right.
And, you know, that. And they still give you a formidable test. And Detroit does, too, when they got a quarterback.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens here. But I'm not going to soft pedal Green Bay. We'll see what happens next week, what the line is, who they're playing, the whole ball of wax. But I'm not soft pedaling them with 13 wins.
I hear you.
Think about that.
I hear you 100%.
But I know what you're saying, too. New Orleans looks terrific. They all, I mean, this is going to be, this is a wide-open year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Everybody's already handed Kansas City the deal. Just step back. Step back, everybody. There's some great teams out there, great quarterbacks. Look, you got New England. You got Baltimore. You got Kansas City. You got Green Bay. To me, the boring playoff rounds are in the NFC.
Yep.
I mean, you got Brady, Lamar Jackson. You got Mahomes.
Yep.
You got, how about Tannehill?
Yeah.
That's what you want to see up into the Bears, where they go find some guy like him.
A fourth round draft pick, Mike. That's
and
what
Mike
the...
Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel made the move to save his job and his ass.
Man, oh man. Why couldn't the Bears have said, yeah, we'll give you a fourth round draft pick. You want two of them? We'll find a second. We'll give you two fourth round draft picks.
You know how bad the Bear quarterbacking is in this century? Oh. It cost Sid Luckman a spot on the top quarterbacks of all time.
That's right.
We're the only group of people that could take one of the great quarterbacks ever, win six championships, 73-0 championship game, break records. We're the only franchise that could take the great Sid Luckman, okay, and not put him in the top 10 all time.
Ugh, it's heartbreaking what's happening.
But then again, Drew Brees didn't make it.
Oh, yeah, that is right. That is.
Aaron Rodgers didn't make it.
That is a sin for Drew Brees not to.
Oh, they play indoors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a valid point.
You know who
point.
Made it? Sammy Ball.
Sammy Ball made it?
Sammy Ball made it. He told me on the score once he fixed football games when he played for the Redskins. I'm sure everybody's proud.
Oh, really? Don't you?
Told me right on the air. This is in the early 90s. The guy lived to be 90. He lived on the ranch that he bought in the 40s. Probably off the money he fixed football games.
Slinging Sammy Ball.
Roger Staubach beat out Bart Starr.
Nah, that doesn't sound right to me.
I wasn't so sure about that one, but that's okay.
Yeah. All right.
Roger's still alive, so let's give it to him.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the Lions were giving or getting 13.5 points in that game against Green Bay. That would have been a sweet little bet, right?
Yeah. Just like the sweet little bet I put down in Carolina, and they lost by 30, and they were getting 13. You know what? They're always sweet after the fact.
That's right.
Because you're getting a bowl of soup, it's a bowl of dog crap. With seasoning.
You were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have the first-round bye. Patrick Mahomes was asked about the benefit of that first-round bye, and this is what he said.
It's basically a win. I mean, that's basically what it is. You basically get to win that first round of the playoffs, and you get to eliminate that game, and then you get to play a home game. And with the Chiefs Kingdom and everything that we have here at Arrowhead, I mean, that's very important to us. And so we're excited to be able to play a home game, kind of let everybody get healthy as they can get, and then prepare to play whoever we get.
Mike, doesn't he sound like Pee Wee Herman?
Wait a minute. Did he just say the Chiefs Kingdom?
Yeah, that's what they call their fans.
Can we play that back?
Sure, let's see. It's around here.
Yeah, I want to get to play a home game, and with the Chiefs Kingdom and everything that we have here at Arrowhead.
I officially hate them. The Chiefs Kingdom. Like they have a little castle. Here. I know. The Chiefs Kingdom. With the Kool-Aid guy. With the Kool-Aid pitcher coaching them. Dressed up in red, my guy Andy Reid. Oh. It's Andy Reid. They're not going to finish the job. He's a modern-day Dick Vermeil. To get to the playoffs and fall on your face.
Oh, my God.
Mahomes at times did not look good yesterday.
Yeah, there's still something not quite Mahomes about him, you know?
You know what? Mahomes and his pals could go back to the Chiefs Kingdom when they're done getting their brains beat in. I got a team I'm not liking now. I mean, did you ever hear Brady talk about the Patriots? If anybody could talk about a kingdom, it's the Patriots. Right? Can you imagine? People would be calling them arrogant. Hey, we got a Patriots Kingdom here that can't be beat. The Chiefs Kingdom.
That's
I guess it's better than saying the Chiefs DP. Although that doesn't stop us from doing it. Remember when everybody was down about the Tom Hawk chop?
Yes.
Thank God it's back. Yeah. I was missing it badly.
Yeah, they were doing that.
Oh, yeah. All the goody two-shoes. All the Indians were mad. No, they weren't. Everybody's right. Back. Everybody's back doing the chop again.
They were
yelling, Seminoles. They're back in the bowl game. God bless.
They were doing it big time over at Soldier Field when the Chiefs annihilated the Bears. 10,000 Kansas City fans at Soldier Field.
Just doing the Tomahawk chop.
That's what they were doing.
You know what? After about about a bottle and a half of Blackberry brandy and about 2 6-packs. I think me and my buddy back in the day might have had altercations.
That's right.
But I think sometimes the best stuff on Twitter, we never got in any fights like that, but right. Sometimes the fighting in the stands
is
hilarious. And folks, once again, Mike North's tip, if you're going to fight in the stands, fight somebody that's below you so you're punching down. That's my tip for the day.
There you go.
Yep.
Get that advantage, that height advantage.
Oh, nothing worse than slugging up. And there's some big guy just pounding you.
That is right. Yep. I'm totally with you. Good tip.
That's it.
I was at a game once, and I was having a problem with the guy behind me, and that thought came to my mind. This guy is not only bigger than me, but he's got the advantage of being in the upper row.
Punching down like there's no business.
Exactly.
His arm will be like a piston.
All right.
And your head will be like a rock after he's done with it.
The Baltimore Ravens, my favorite team to come out of the AFC, were winners against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 28-10, and they sat Lamar Jackson, and guess who was quarterbacking for the Ravens? A name from the past, Robert Griffin III. He actually had a pretty good game, and this is what he said after the game. He was asked if there was pressure on him and the second stringers to do well for the Ravens.
I ain't started a game in 3 years, you know, and other guys that played and had to play a lot more than they normally do, there was pressure on them to perform. And I can't be happier for those guys that they went out and, you know, we shut down the Steelers offense and we were able to dominate the Steelers defense, especially in the trenches. That was awesome. It was awesome to watch. I was a fan. You know, I was mic'd up today. I can't wait to hear what I was saying. I don't even remember, but it was a lot of fun.
Man, oh man, Robert Griffin III. Would you entertain?
The guy was the biggest star on the planet 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, his rookie season. He was
doing the Subway stuff. I know him as long as he was doing everything, man. God bless him. Seems like a mature kid. Guy, he's playing in the league. He did his job yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he's never going to be a starter again. I'll tell you, guy, you know, I'm happy for them. Pittsburgh did as much as they could. They just had you can't have 3-4 quarterbacks get hurt and expect to survive. I'll tell you who's available for the Bears. Joe Flacco. He's going to be available.
That's right. That's
would
right.
Would you look into him?
Nope.
I would look into him.
Nope.
We're scraping. And you know what? It's like when you open the refrigerator and there's only like a carton of milk and you keep looking like something's going to appear.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nothing appears. And you keep looking. That's what we're doing.
That's right. You know what? He probably
has no escapability. He's a high-end Mike Glennon.
Yes, that's the thing. That's the thing.
He's a high-end Mike Glennon.
That is
boy,
perfect.
I never saw nobody move like that guy. When I'm in my 90s, I'll move better than that guy. Otherwise, the plan didn't work. Wow.
Mike, you hit it right on the head. He's a high-end Mike Glennon. You're absolutely
he's a high-end Mike Glennon. He got the Super Bowl. God bless him.
So you know why,
right? So did Eli Manning. But if you can't move now, yeah, look, I watched this Burrow kid. I can't get off this kid because he's so good. He moves like Brady did and does. He doesn't run too much, but he moves sideways. He knows where to go. And most quarterbacks don't.
Right.
They run into trouble. You know what I mean? So, and some of them just don't have the foot speed. And Flacco's as slow as they come, you know?
Do you think that Ryan Pace should be trusted with making the decision on the next quarterback? I mean, he came to Chicago. He kept Jay Cutler for 2 years. Then he signs Mike Glennon to a guaranteed $16 million contract he got for doing nothing. And then he drafts Mitch Trubisky. Do you think
he should call me first and I'll
talk
after?
There you go.
Because I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to blame Mike Glennon for everything. But once I saw him actually move, I said, now, he's still in the league, by the way. He played yesterday. I forget what team. If you look him up,
yeah.
He came in late.
I'll look for that.
I don't know what team he's on. I don't know if he's back with Tampa. Maybe Cincinnati. I can't remember. But I never saw a quarterback that slow. Ever.
He's
ever.
He was he played in the Raiders Broncos game. He's
right.
With the Raiders, right?
He came in.
Right.
How about the Broncos? So the Broncos, are letting Joe Flacco walk.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
So, I mean, if you want to really test Mitch Trubisky, you bring a guy like that in. And if he's supposed to be, see, but I don't think the Bears will do that.
No.
I think they'll keep everything as is with the quarterbacks. I do.
I think that they're going to, Chase Daniel is now gone. His contract is over. There's no way they're going to re-sign Chase Daniel. They're going to bring in either a young quarterback or a veteran. I got a feeling that they're probably going to bring in a young quarterback and give Mitch Trubisky the steering wheel for the 2020 season.
Yep.
And it breaks my heart. Now, the Eagles are...
Are you that down on him right now?
Am I down on Trubisky?
Are you down on him or are you down on the whole team?
I'm down on the whole team, starting
Me
with
too.
Matt Nagy.
Me too.
Matt Nagy is proving to be
he
like a...
He killed us the first half, Matt Nagy.
He did. I mean, Mike, you know, even in today's passing league, you know you got to get a ground game going, especially in Chicago, cold weather.
Yep.
You can't trust throwing the ball 40, 50 times. And that's what Nagy wants to do all the time. He has no respect for the ground game. And that should have been the first question he should have been asked by the Bears, by Pace and Phillips and all those guys when they interviewed him. Tell me what you're going to do with the ground game, because this is Chicago, the home of Sayers.
He ran Montgomery four times in a row yesterday. I guarantee you that didn't happen all year.
That's true. That is true.
He ran him four times in a row, and I told Beebe, I said, you know what? I guarantee you Montgomery's gassed.
Yeah.
Because he's never won four
That's
times
right.
in a row.
You are absolutely right. This is the town of Sayers and Peyton and Forte
yep.
and all these great running backs.
They have no identity.
Exactly. Exactly.
You got to get your identity back. And bad teams don't have identities. Look, the Bulls don't have an identity. The Hawks don't have an identity.
Nah.
You know, the White Sox are trying to build an identity. But the Bears' identity is middle line defensive play, run the ball, throw the ball when you need to. But the one thing that's a puzzle, it's so hard to imagine they've never been able to develop a quarterback, ever.
It is sad.
That to me... is the one thing. They did have McMahon, but he was developed. He was developed when he came.
Yes.
Everything McMahon learned, I'm telling you, he learned at Brigham Young.
Yes, you are absolutely
right.
He
held 72 records.
Exactly. He was a passing quarterback in college. He came in,
yep.
and he changed plays at the line of scrimmage that were better
right.
than what Ditka was calling. So
right. They never made him the Bears have never made anybody a good quarterback. But they've had a couple guys like McMahon that walked in saying, I know more about this position than anybody in this room.
Chicago Dave in the chat room says that you had the infamous Trey Burton syphilis comment this time last year. Did you say Trey Burton had syphilis or something last year?
I don't remember saying that. Don't I get in enough trouble about Chicago Bob and Chicago Dave and Peoria Jim calling? Maybe I did say it. Well, I probably said, what, the guy's been gone forever. What's he got, venereal disease? I don't know.
Sounds
Did
like
you hear
something
he's back in their plans?
Yes. Well, he's guaranteed to make I think it's $6.8 million or $7 million, something like that. So if you drop him, you're only going to save $1 million. So why not bring him back to camp and see if he can win a job? If he can't, you know, hopefully you bring in some capable guys that can take the job away from him. But if you drop him, all you're going to do is
start making decisions based on money, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. This guy does not deserve to be a Bear. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The last 2 years missing the playoff game, and then this nonsense this year, nobody even knows what happened to him. I thought he got kidnapped. You know, I don't know where the hell the guy's at. It's just brutal. We have so many questions, and tight end's one of the biggest ones, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the guy gets hurt every year. The guy's always got issues. I mean, now we're bringing him back, and I know the money thing once in a while would look good for a team to say, you know what, here's the money, or maybe renegotiate the deal or something, because, man, I mean, it's brutal.
It is.
That we got it. That's a mistake.
Yep.
That's a mistake.
Yep. It totally is.
But the Eagles did not make a mistake yesterday, despite the fact that they are facing so many injuries, and you talked about that earlier in the show. They went out and beat the heck out of the Giants. I think it was 34-17. Carson Wentz was asked about, you know, all of these substitutes that they had and how they came out to play. This is his response.
I think that's what makes it, you know, that much more special, is the camaraderie and the guys just buying in and believing, you know, and, you know, whether that's guys on the defensive side, offensive side, we've had new playmakers almost every week, you know, different guys stepping up because guys are getting hurt and banged up. And it's just fun to see guys, you know, show up in big moments like that, that, you know, maybe last year were on the practice squad, you know, and for them to step up in the way they have and the way guys have been making plays, it's been so cool to see. And you know, I think it makes it that much more fun to do what we did. And hopefully we can go do something special, like I said.
Hey, despite all those injuries, I kind of like the Eagles beating the Seahawks at Philadelphia on wildcard weekend. You gotta, I know you're not going to give anything away because you got to go to Vegas Scores and Odds to get the lowdown right from Mike. But what's your kind of gut feel right now about these two teams, the Seahawks and Eagles?
I love Russell Wilson. Carson Wentz has done unbelievable. Talk about a guy with no receivers.
Right.
I mean, and he's just gotten it done. He's made everybody be quiet about Nick Foles, you know, that situation. The team respects him. I sort of would blame the Eagles right now, but, man, Russell Wilson, I love the guy. Yesterday, I mean, they showed some flaws last night, but they played a damn good team. Man, there's some great quarterbacks. If you notice, folks, there's not a bad quarterback in the playoffs this year. That's the deal. There's no projects. You got Wentz. You got Russell Wilson. You got Brady. You got Mahomes. You got Watson. You know, I mean, think about that. I mean, they're all pedigree quarterbacks. That's a pick it game to me, man, right now. I don't know who I take. I don't know what the line would be is yet, but I'll tell you what, that's a pick it game.
Yeah. A lot of people in the chat room are saying that the Seahawks with Marshawn Lynch returning back to the team should be.
How about him last night?
Oh, my goodness. He looked like he'd been playing all season.
Because all he does is run straight.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't, like Montgomery, now, Lynch can bounce outside after breaking a tackle
sure.
or two. But Marshawn Lynch gets the ball and just runs up the middle.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He just punishes people, man.
Yep.
That's an attitude that they were missing maybe, but I didn't like it, but it worked.
Yep.
They lost the game, you know, but they only had one healthy running back, so it worked out.
Hart 4803 says the Seahawks were better off losing last night because he believes that they will go to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles. So, my man Hart
might be right about that.
Yeah.
He might be right about that because, you know what, the Eagles, they've played, but here's the Eagles have played like 3-4 playoff games in a row because the situation said they had to win every game, and that's what they did.
That's amazing.
That's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. They're ready. They're ready. They're more than ready to defend, to go in there and to try to win their game because they've been, regardless of who they played, they beat Dallas when they had to beat Dallas. They've been in some tough playoff games.
Yep. Mike, on our last show, I promised our audience that we would touch on some of the player moves that have been done with the Chicago White Sox. I neglected to bring that up. Let's talk a little bit about that before we pull the shade, or what's the
pull
cliche?
The plug.
Pull the plug. Pull there the plug. It is. Thank you.
Attaboy.
Pull the plug on
Attaboy.
This edition.
I have those every so often. It's called sometimers. Yeah. I haven't pulled the shade since 1976, but that's right. When you're pulling shades, you know, that's in a film noir. You always see the shade go down. Then you hear a bang. Boom. Somebody got it. All right. So, anyway, let me tell you about the White Sox. I want to give Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov to my good friend Gerald Reinstorm.
Yeah, finally, right?
I didn't like the I don't like the Grandel thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that pickup.
Right.
But I sure as hell like the Gio Gonzalez pickup to eat up some innings.
Yep.
I like the fact that he's around a .500 pitcher, which is better than the White Sox have been playing.
Right.
And Dallas Keuchel shocked me.
Yeah.
My brother's a Cub fan. He called me. He goes, why the hell didn't the Cubs go after him? Yeah. I go, they won their one for the century. That's it. They're done.
That's right. Now it's done.
We're going to reconvene in 2088, and then that's it. And, yeah, Theo Epstein's great-great-grandson will be in charge of the team. or the Ricketts grandson will own it. Bottom line is, Keuchel, if I told you that the Sox gave a guy 3 years, $55 million, and he was 8-8 with a 3.75, you'd go, really?
Yes.
Until I tell you it's Dallas Keuchel.
Yep. Yep.
That tells the team, and this is why I kept saying 2020, the rebuild's over officially.
Yep.
That's what I said to Eldo last year. When's it going to end? It's over. You got some starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pick up some bullpen.
Yep.
But here's the problem with the White Sox. They got five DHs, and they have no defense. Their pitching is still lacking.
Yes.
But they can hit with anybody. They can hit with anybody. They're going to be in a lot of 10-9 games. But, man, there's going to be some long ball games, and their defense is not there yet, and they still have to improve on their pitching. But, hey, I'm encouraged.
I'm not blowing smoke up your behind here, Mike, but I really, really believe that you may have had something to do with the spending spree by the White Sox, because you came on Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage, and you complained about Reinsdorf and the White Sox not spending money. You brought up the play for second place story that was overlooked by most of the Chicago media. I even think that you talked about it on the ESPN show, The Odds Couple.
Oh, I've talked about it on ESPN. I've tweeted it out.
Right.
I've kept the pressure on him. And by the way, that bothers Reinsdorf. Don't
yes,
get me wrong.
I know.
Anything, look at, here's what I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two places I've lived at my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
The house I live in and a condo in Reinsdorf's head. Because he was okay. I'm going to tell you something. That second place thing, he knows it, and he knows it big.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy that he never wanted to have hear that was me. Okay, because I'm never going to let that go. And I think that did have something to do with it. The second place stuff, not just from me, but from the reports from McDowell, from Solomon, who was the Miami Marlin executive, and the fan base. So let's see what happens. But, hey, I want Jerry. Here's another thing. He's not getting any younger. Okay?
That's right. He's getting up there. He is getting up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he looks at Virginia McCaskey going, okay, she's 96. But that's a special, you know, she's got that lineage. My God. I mean, but, you know, you're not getting any younger. You never know when your last day on earth's going to be. You'd like to have a competitive. Look, I've always said this to him. Spend the money. You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
You can't.
He's worth $1.5 billion, according to a website here. He is 83 years old.
And the Ricketts are worth, Tom and his dad are worth $3 billion, and I got to hear him crying about renovations. They finally fixed the toilet. They had, you know what kind of toilets they had at Wrigley Field?
Yes.
They had with the chain, with the pole chain, like in The Godfather.
Yes,
they
yes.
had those. And they finally fixed the toilet, and now they're into debt. Are you kidding me? We can't pick up a player because we fixed the toilets. Are you nuts?
What a joke. What a joke.
You go down there now. I mean, I loved that neighborhood back in the day. I ran there. Now you go down there, I feel like I'm in another city. I feel like I'm in Seattle.
I know. It's wild how that
it's
has
crazy,
changed.
Man.
Yes. The McDonald's across the street is gone, and the big hotel. And all. Man, it is Yuppieville.
I said, you know how much I know, Eagle? There's no way they could put a hotel there. It's not big enough. It's big enough.
Yes. Well, another great show with Mike North, my man. Mike, remind people where they should go for their betting needs.
Vegas Scores and Odds. Give us a foul. Vegas Scores and Odds Sports. We're off Wednesday. Okay, we'll be back next Monday. We got our picks. Don't forget the picks that I gave everybody. Valparaiso in basketball. Tonight, Kansas State under tomorrow. And you know what? I'm going to give out, I don't know if it's up yet, but it was only a web play. I'm giving out Mississippi State this afternoon as a bowl game, okay?
Oh, sweet.
So, hey, go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Check the standings. We've been grinding lately. It hasn't been pretty. I went through a 2-8 stretch, and then now I've won 4 of my last 6. But, man, it's like hitting. It's like hitting, man. You just got to keep stroking every day. get up every day. That's my life, Aldo. I start looking at odds. How exciting. Anyway, I want everybody to have a good new year, Aldo. You and Don and everybody have a good new year. And,
likewise.
Everybody at the Bears Barroom, I love you.
I love you too, Mike. And I am always betting on Mike North because he wins a hell of a lot more than he loses.
31-21 in the Barroom. Aldo's like Robert Kraft. He doesn't know what it's like to lose.
That's right. Take care, brother.
Take care, bud.